Staying with President Biden's State of the Union speech from this past Tuesday, the speech can serve as a way to reveal what the pressing issues are facing America. Many believe gun violence, especially school shootings, certainly make that list. The president did address this issue. Does he appear to understand its importance? Did what he say present an accurate picture of this issue? Maybe even more importantly, will others hear the words and respond? With us now to discuss this is a father who lost his child to a school shooter and has become one of the leading voices to confront this danger to our children. He's the president of Stand with Parkland, Tony Montalto. How are you today, sir?
Just fine, Chris. Thank you for having me.
StandWithParkland.org is, well, first, where you can learn more about their work, and second, become part of their work, because this is an effort that the more voices we have behind it, the faster we get to the place we need to be. I want to start off, Tony, because this coming Tuesday, it'll be 5 years since your daughter Gina Rose was taken away during the massacre at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School. What's going through your heart and your head as we approach that day?
Well, it's nearly unimaginable to believe that it's been 5 years since we sent our beautiful daughter out our front door to school, and she didn't return to us. My wife and I and my son struggled through every day without her absence. She was certainly a vibrant and vital part of our family.
It's for a parent who's listening right now, because it's often said, because it's true, that the worst thing that can happen to a parent is if their child passes before them. What can you say to a parent to, I guess, not get over, that would be the wrong choice, but just to survive it?
Yeah, certainly we were in survival mode shortly after it happened. And since then, the best you can do is try and find ways to work around the hole in your heart and the pain in your life. And some days you're more successful than others, and you just have to allow yourself the grace to realize when you can't function, you can't function. But otherwise, you need to find a way to again, work around that pain that's in your heart always once you lose a child.
Certainly, if you can find a way to honor them, which you have with your work with Stand with Parkland, that too is an aid in that overcoming. Going to this past Tuesday night and President Biden's State of the Union address, what were you hoping to hear, and were your expectations met to any degree?
Well, I think after listening to the president's speech, one of the most important messages is that he had that was finish the job. Last year, we saw Congress come together in a bipartisan fashion to pass the Bipartisan Safer Communities Act, which was a fantastic school safety bill because it addressed the school safety triad that Stand with Parkland has worked to develop, which is securing the campus of our nation's schools, improving mental health screening and support programs, and finally, if you choose to own one, responsible firearms ownership. Each of those pieces was addressed in the Bipartisan Safer Communities Act, and we think that although it was a great start, certainly there is more to be done.
Would that include the EAGLES Act, if you want to look it up, by the way, if you're listening? It's H.R. 1229 and S391 in their respective bodies. That's named, by the way, after the mascot at Stoneman Douglas High School. There you go, the name EAGLES Act. But what's vital about that act? There's been little public attention and really not much of a, some would say, a justifiable push to bring that forward.
Well, sadly, we haven't seen enough of a push, although we did have bipartisan support in Congress for that in the last Congress. We're hopeful that it will be reintroduced shortly into the 118th Congress. And the important thing about the EAGLES Act is it provides additional funding to the U.S. Secret Service National Threat Assessment Center team so that they can go out and, or I should say, so they can continue research into how to make our schools safer and prevent school shootings, as well as so they can go out into our communities around the nation and train our school professionals, our mental health professionals, and our law enforcement professionals on how to work together when they do a behavioral threat assessment on a student that's exhibiting troubling behavior. Again, this is about the behavior of the student. This is by far the most proactive tool we have to take a student that's exhibiting troubling signs and get them the help they need before they resort to violence.
Tony Montalto, who is the president of Stand With Parkland. StandWithParkland.org is their website, and you were listening to Issues and Ideas. You mentioned, too, how gun ownership responsibility is part of the solution to what we're facing, which brings about the six-year-old student down in Virginia who got mad at their teacher and got mom or dad's gun and brought it to school. It just seems like there has to be more a more significant penalty to inspire the action that will be a deterrent against that from happening again.
Well, we couldn't agree more. One of our basic messages is safe storage of firearms in the home, because research has shown that the majority of school shooters get their weapon from their own home or from a relative. So what we need to do is encourage safe storage. And by safe storage, we mean something that it's where children cannot access the weapon and where it's not likely to be stolen. These are just vital pieces of the puzzle to help ensure responsible firearms ownership by those who wish to own one. We don't want to get into a Second Amendment debate. Nothing gets accomplished there because we're not going to change the Second Amendment, but we concentrate on public safety and how this could be helpful. Another example in this Virginia shooting just a few weeks ago where the teacher got shot was the lack of an inclusive solution by the school. If a school is notified that some student may have a weapon on the school, they should be calling the police. They should get law enforcement involved to help them solve the issue. And again, this goes back to forming a multidisciplinary behavioral threat assessment. They could have brought in their mental health professionals. They needed to bring in the police at this point when a weapon is told that they're told the weapon's on campus to help stop someone from taking out a weapon and killing students or teachers at school. We see schools fail on this frequently. We saw them fail in Parkland to do an effective behavioral threat assessment when the school tried to handle it by themselves without creating the behavioral threat assessment team. We saw it in Oxford, Michigan in November of 2021 when the school had the shooter in the office that morning, yet they failed to bring in law enforcement and the mental health portion of the team to comprehensively look at the issue and help save lives. And sadly, a few short hours after that, four students were killed there. So we see when schools fail to do these things, we have to realize that we have to come together in a comprehensive approach where we have our school professionals, our teachers, our law enforcement folks, our mental health professionals, our students, and our parents all working together in unison to make our schools safer for our students and teachers.
Yes, the schools need to do better than in the case of Virginia, dismiss it as saying, well, the school day is almost over, so we can get out of this and not have to do anything. If you look at the stats, this is from the Department of Defense Naval Postgraduate School Center for Homeland Defense and Security. The number of school shootings since the end of the assault weapon ban, just as a point of reference, has skyrocketed. Yet I'm not going to mention the names or honor the institutions for the idiocy that they present, but there are there's a number of people out there, overly educated but ignorant of reality, who say, well, school shootings, they're a small part of the total gun violence, almost dismissing them. How do you respond to something like that with someone who has a title before the name and has some sort of imagined authority?
Well, I think that it's important to remember that the loss of even one student in a school shooting is tragic. As a parent who school shooting had her taken from our family, I find that message to be repulsive. And I think we need to remember that our schools are the place where our students need to be safe. They're the place where we are trying to create the future citizens of our country. Our kids and our teachers should be safe within those buildings. An attack on a school is an attack on the future of America. And we all need to remember that, and we all need to come together in a bipartisan fashion and find solutions. I frequently get frustrated when I hear what we can't do. So what Stand With Parkland does, and what the information on StandWithParkland.org, is we try and show people what can be done, how to work together. bring them resources that they could use. On our website, we have five questions that every family should ask on school safety. We believe those are starting questions that every family should ask their schools and their administrators regarding school safety. If you sign up on our website, we'll give you the answers that you should expect to hear for free. And we hope that that free flow of information and holding people accountable for keeping our students safe will come from that.
We have the link at our homepage, standwithparkland.org. That is a website for Stand with Parkland that brings about, for those who are asking, what can we do? Well, the answer is quite simple. Something, as opposed to just sitting, debating, arguing, dismissing. Standwithparkland.org. That's your go-to for the information for action and response to a threat to our children. Tony Montalto, president of Stand with Parkland, thank you so much for the work that you make. God bless the soul of your daughter and your family. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you, Chris. And we hope everyone takes a few moments on Tuesday to remember the victims of the Parkland School Massacre and who they were as vital parts of the community, as bright students and dedicated teachers.